The 2021 Suncorp Super Netball rosters have been finalised, and Junior Levy joins us for a chat here on the Centre Pass podcast. Hello and welcome to the Centre Pass podcast, brought to you by Netball Draft Central. My name is Jared Gardner, and as always, I'm joined by Taylor Mulkey and Sophie Taylor. And the rosters for 2021 Super Netball are finalised. And Sophie, I might go to you first. It's been a couple of weeks since we've all spoken, but Kalia Stanton picking up that that hole in the Vixen shooting circle. What was your first reaction to that?
I will say I was surprised, but not shocked, if that makes sense. I wasn't surprised because the Vixens needed an experienced name to be able to suit up and jump on court straight away. But I was also kind of frustrated because she wasn't the pick that I would have chosen. But at the end of the day, it's not up to me, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of a weird one because I was kind of hoping that the Vixens would blood up a young talent. And obviously they've also picked up Ruby Barkmeyer, who was a training partner. So at least they'll be that young player who can come on. But yeah, I thought it was a bit of a weird pickup.
And Taylor, obviously the roster has been finalised for next season, and Shamara Sterling has re-signed with the Thunderbirds. There's a bit of conjecture about whether she'd stay or go, but happy to see her back in Super Netball for another year.
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of will she stay, will she go? But I think for her netball career, that staying with the Thunderbirds is the best possible option. We've just seen how much she's developed from last year to this year, and with that extra season under her belt, I think that it'll only further develop her craft, and she's such an exciting player. It would have been sad to have lost her to another league, because I think the Suncorp Super Netball really values to have her on court, given she's such an excitement machine.
Yeah, definitely, and we will get into all of that and a bit more player re-signing news just a little bit later. But first of all, I think what we want to talk about, a bit of drama in the netball world and the social media world regarding Kim Revallion and how the media has covered Adam Treloar's move to, if you're not an AFL fan, Adam Treloar's move away from Collingwood. It's been incredibly disappointing to see Kim Revallion just labelled as simply just a wag. Yeah, I guess what have you guys thought about this originally?
Yeah, I think the hard thing is, or the really disappointing part is, Kim Revallion is not just a wag, and she has not been respected by the media in the way that she's been spoken about. She has a gold medal from a World Cup. She has a gold medal from a Commonwealth game. She's a two-time premiership player with the Queensland Firebirds. She is an elite netballer that deserves that respect to not just be labelled as a wag. And I think that everyone is in the same boat thinking that, you know, she is more than that, and just give her the respect. Like I keep saying, that it's a two-way street. No one would say that about Adam Treloar, you know, oh, he's just the partner of Kim Revallion. No, they would label him as an AFL footballer, or, you know, X, Y, and Z. And that's the exact same with Kimmy Rav. And the other thing to kind of think about is the fact that she's allowed to pursue her career. And it's almost like by just saying that, oh, you know, she's a this or she's that, she's allowed to do what she wants, and good on her. She's had a child. She wants to get back into that elite netball environment, and full power to her, because I think that next year for the Queensland Firebirds, she's got so much to give.
Yeah, I was really frustrated. Like you said, it was kind of that idea that because she was moving to the Firebirds because she wasn't re-offered a contract from Collingwood, that it was her fault that Collingwood then weren't signing on Adam Treloar. And that was what really frustrated me, because at the end of the day, he had always said that they were going to go up without him and they'd navigate that themselves. Like that's not the club's issue. So yeah, it just really frustrated me. And it was just that thing again of the woman kind of being shunted to the side, and like she didn't have a say in the matter when she was the one who was like, you know what, I'm going to do this. This team is offering me a contract. I've just had a kid. I'm willing to make this change. I'm going to go up and do this because this is what I want to do. And then for her to be blamed for the club's mishandling of the situation. That's what really frustrated me the most. But yeah, it has really been a huge issue in the media over the last week, and I'm hoping that it really puts a spotlight on how big of an issue it is in general. I guess, like, I hope that this being brought up and so many people going, no, that's not okay, you can't keep saying that, hopefully that will actually contribute and help in the future of netball and of women's sport in general, where the women aren't just shunted to the side.
Yeah, and I think the main thing that I've noticed that's been different this time is that usually it's just kind of the fans are the ones being outraged, and the media can kind of say, well, like, but now it is the players and it is the teams. The Suncorp Super Netball teams have posted this on their own social media channels, and I've seen countless Suncorp Super Netball players reposting this and telling media organisations that it isn't good enough, and that's all it is. It isn't good enough, and Kim's able to pursue her career, and I'm sure she's going to have an amazing impact with the Firebirds next year. She already had a great time up there in the first phase of her career, so it'd be great to see. Exciting what she's going to do. We don't want to take anything away from her, because she's just, yeah, an absolute star of Australian netball, and we all can't wait to see how she goes in 2021. Moving on now, we will get into some more of that player signing news for the 2021 Super Netball season. And we did touch on Kalia Stanton being signed to the Melbourne Vixens. It kind of did just all fall into place, and it did seem like the logical option in the end. But I know there are a few people who are a bit disappointed in that one. People wanted to see someone from the Victorian pathway take that spot. So if you've heard from you already, so Taylor, I might go to you first. What did you think of the signing of Stanton?
I'm really intrigued by it, because my main issue with that is that she's not a designated goal attack. And I think that her movement, when she was out in goal attack for the Fever, it wasn't beneficial to them. It kind of, in the end, she would clog up space because she has that natural goal shooter role where, you know, she'll float into the circle or hold space. And I think that that won't work well for the Vixens. However, we did see Katie Thwaites, you know, push out to goal attack, and she really enjoyed and thrived in that position throughout this year. So maybe that's what they're hoping. And given that Kalia Stanton is that little bit younger, she might have fresher legs in her than someone like Katie Thwaites. I'm not taking that away from her, but I'm saying maybe they're seeing that they could potentially groom her into a goal attack and still keep the accuracy or the relative accuracy that she has, but also add that movement and that playmaking style, because I don't think two holding shooters will necessarily work well. But it is a really good opportunity for Stanton to prove her worth and to put her hand up and say, hey, look, you know, this is what I can do. This is what I can deliver. And, you know, I do have experience. I can take a starting position and see what she can do and really develop her game and elevate herself to that next level and showcase, you know, all of her array of talents and really get that front end looking sparkly and new.
Yeah, I'm really interested by it. I'm especially interested to see how she develops under Sherelle McMahon. Obviously, Sherelle's an assistant coach and obviously is one of the greatest goal attacks we've seen in the sport. And I kind of think it's almost like the Vixens are trying to kind of, obviously, my impression, honestly, is that I reckon the Vixens were potentially trying to think of whether they could get ATN back here. Obviously, she's from the Victorian pathway originally. The Melbourne Vixens kind of have a history. We've seen it with Kate Eddy, where they'll develop her as a training partner. They'll go off to a different state. They'll get a little bit of court time and then come back and slot straight in. We've seen that happen now with Eddy, and I feel like they're probably potentially gearing up to do the same thing with ATN. And then Stanton was the one who was available, so that's what's happened. But I kind of wonder whether they're trying to do, maybe try and create Stanton into almost like a Gretel Tippett, a little bit of a taller goal, or a little, like, she's fairly athletic and she's a talented athlete, no doubt. She just hasn't had the consistent court time or a real chance to kind of prove herself in that position. So I'm really interested to see what she can do and how she can develop. I will say, though, based on her consistency, that's my main issue. She hasn't had that consistent court time, so we don't know what she can do over a four-quarter effort. And the only player they'll be able to rotate on in goal attack is a young player, an 18-year-old Ruby Barkmeyer, and that is my main issue. It would have been smarter. Obviously, it's not feasible, but it would have been a great opportunity if Tegan Phillip had stayed on an extra season or Katie Thwaites had stayed on an extra season, being that starting goaler and helped the bench goaler to get that court time. Obviously, that's not going to happen. And the only option for the Vixens to have a ready-made starting goaler was to pick up Stanton, who obviously is a starting goal shooter. So it's a little bit of a difficult situation. I do understand the reasoning behind it. And I'm very, very intrigued to see what she can do.
Yeah, and I think, Sophie, you spoke about Ruby Barkmeyer there. She's another signing for the Vixens, and she didn't actually go up to the Queensland hub. She's kind of been in the pathway, but didn't go up to the hub this year. Has stayed back at home, and says she's been, well, she will be at the training camp with the 21 and under national squad. So she's got that pedigree, and she's going to be a good player for the future, but we'll have to see how much court time she does get in 2021. But a good young player that they'll be hoping to develop over the next couple of years. Another bit of news coming out of Adelaide was the fact that Layla Gusketh will not be returning to the Thunderbirds in 2021, instead moving back home to England to continue her career as a doctor over there. So obviously, in the midst of COVID-19 and this pandemic, it's great to see her going on the front line and doing that. And I think it's going to be a loss to the Thunderbirds, but she's probably doing the right thing in the long run.
No, I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say it's very noble of her to kind of put her doctor's career, especially in the face of a pandemic, to put that ahead of her netball career. Obviously, she completed her degree and stuff like that. She did all that. She came back to netball. She's come kind of gone back and forth. And to see her going back over to the UK is really sad for the SSN, but such an exciting moment again for the Vitality Netball Super League. She's rejoined Team Bath. She's going to be back there with Serena Guthrie. So they're going to have a really, really exciting team next season. And yeah, it's a really huge decision to make. And it's certainly not one that any player would ever take lightly. Obviously moving back home after playing in the Premier League in the world effectively. And it kind of puts the Thunderbirds in an interesting place, though. I'm kind of wondering whether she had already made that decision before Shimon had been delisted and gone, because would the Thunderbirds have made a different decision if they had known earlier? I'm really, really interested to see what happens there.
Well, I remember reading, and it was Layla Gusketh had said that they had actually been trying to see if there was any opportunity that she could, like, work here in the medical field, but the logistics of it were just too difficult. So it was almost like, well, like you kind of touched on, Sophie, it's so noble and admirable to think that she's gone, well, if I can't work as a doctor in Australia and also play my netball, I'll go back home where I can assist during this, you know, pandemic. And clearly we've already seen hundreds of thousands of lives lost and things like that. So it's really nice to see that she's going back, putting that doctor's, well, getting back into that field of work, and then also joining Team Bath, which is just, like you said, another key pickup for the VNSL. And they're going to be, it's going to be a really exciting league next year.
Yeah, and just with the Thunderbirds obviously signing Matilda Garrett in this player transfer period, so maybe a little bit more court time than she might have expected, but it'd be really great to see her out on court in that goal defence position for the Thunderbirds. Just finally, in terms of player signing news, it was announced that April Branley has been officially signed to the Giants squad for 2021. Obviously was, I think, just an injury replacement player or part of that extended squad in up in the hub this year. And adds just an enormous amount of experience to the Giants. And yeah, if she can get out on court pretty consistently in 2021, she's going to have a major impact.
They have a relatively young lineup, the Giants. Like, it's a really good mix of youth and experience, which is a really exciting thing. So having someone like Branley down there, we've seen her play a little bit of wing defense. We've seen her. So if, for example, they needed to shuffle those bibs around, potentially put Parmento into centre or do something like that, they do have those flexibilities and that option. We've also seen Branley go into goalkeeper, so that's just another element that the Giants have brought in, which is really exciting after clearly a disappointing season, getting some young players through and also signing some of the more experienced players will really shape up nicely for them next year.
Yeah, it's really interesting. They've kind of made very, very similar changes to the Vixens, if you actually think about it. Obviously, both the Vixens and Giants lost a key goaler, and the Vixens obviously lost two key goalers, but both teams now have a significant amount more of defenders than they do attackers, and not necessarily, like, you look at someone like Ellie Smith, who was picked up by the Vixens. She's a wing defense, goal defense, can go into center if she really has to, but that's kind of not preferred by the team. Same thing with someone like Brandley, someone like who else have they got in there in their defensive unit? They've got Manua, Pullman, Tilly McDonnell. They've got so many defenders, and it's not necessarily the most versatile defensive unit, but it's also, but it's very versatile within itself, if that makes sense. So it's very, very interesting. I was just kind of thinking about that, how obviously the Vixens, presuming it's not going to a 12-player squad again, they only have Liz Watson, who can go into wing attack, and I guess Maloney if they're going to push someone else out there. It's going to be the same thing with the Giants this year. Obviously, Kira Austin is now going to be the experienced goal attack in the team, whereas this season she was kind of still, she's very experienced, but she was on the outer, even though she was getting the court time over someone like Caitlin Bassett. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And it's very interesting to me how the two teams kind of almost mirror each other, even though they've got kind of significantly different players in their midst.
Yeah, definitely. And it'll be, I guess we're 6 months away from the start of the 2021 season, but it's already an incredibly exciting thing to look forward to. So we'll just have to wait and see what does happen. And now we are very excited here on the Centre Pass podcast to be joined by New Zealand men's national player, Junior Levy. Junior, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. Well, first of all, I guess a lot of people in the netball world, a lot of diehard fans will know who you are. But for those of you, those people who don't know, give us a bit of an introduction about yourself and how did you really get into playing netball?
So just in a quick snapshot, my name is Junior Levy. I was born and raised in Auckland and kind of learned how to play netball as a kid. In primary school, everyone learns all the sports in New Zealand. So I'm not too sure how it works here, but then the family moved to Brisbane when I was about 11. And then I didn't really find netball again until the end of university. I played socially and then realized that because of my height, I probably could get a bit far in it. So it just snowballed. Like, I played indoor first and then really, really, like, I loved indoor because of the social aspect. But when I found full court netball or normal netball, as all of us know, it really, like, built a passion in me for just the sport and to represent. And I obviously played for Australia for a short amount of time. And then after returning to New Zealand in 2018 to play nationals, I decided to make the switch, just given the comparison and how far ahead, to be fair, Australia is in terms of developing the men's game than New Zealand was. So I obviously decided to jump ship and give back, and it kind of was some really amazing timing, given that Cadbury, the original Cadbury was announced. So a lot of netball fans say that I did the switch because of Cadbury, but I switched in 2018 and then Cadbury was announced about halfway through 2019. So I guess I was a little bit blessed. And I still am, I think, when it comes to my netball career, in terms of participating again this year. Yeah. So goal shoot, goal attack, where my fitness is good and goal keep. But yeah, that's kind of my netball story in a snapshot.
Yeah. And obviously we were kind of chatting about this before. Who were you able to kind of model your game off? Or when you were growing up, was there someone that you modeled your game off or had a main influence? Because obviously it's one of those things where, like, how do you model your game off someone if you don't see yourself in that position or in that area?
That's actually such a good question. Mainly because I, like you said, there isn't probably someone, in the female game as well. Probably if I started now, I would have like Janelle to look up to. But because I started quite a bit ago, I would always model my netball off other players that I really admired around me. One of my best friends, Deepak, probably, and he was in the New Zealand men's team again this year. We became best friends the minute we found each other in 2013, playing for Queensland Open Men's. And he's probably got the smartest netball brain I've ever met on anyone. And so he's used that to his advantage because he's not the most athletic person, but the way that he moves, his timing, his rolls, his dodges, and his nows, I've sort of always copied. And then since then, I just kind of copy players that I admire, like Amelia Rand. I've followed Amelia Rand. We all grew up together in Queensland in the netball pathways. So I've always admired her. Obviously, Maria. Defensively, Casey Kapua. I've like loved Casey since I was like, I guess the first time I saw her was when I was 16. Like I've always followed netball as an avid fan. So when she came onto the scene in 2006, I adored her. She plays similar to how most men play in defense. She just goes for everything. She's like long arms, and she really loves to turn her body inside out to get ball. So yeah, those would be some key players so far. But I'm always looking for inspiration elsewhere.
And you just touched on then that Casey Kapua kind of models or plays a similar style to the men. Do you find that you yourself have to alter your game depending on who you're coming up against, whether it be women, men, mixed, all of those different types of netball leagues?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's I guess, and when we play female, it's more obviously being aware of for me, or for everyone, really, the height difference. But for females, obviously, the difference in our size. But I also have to be very wary about the type of contact that is produced against a specific athlete. So I can say hand on heart, and no umpire can tell me otherwise that I'm definitely umpired differently to other players. And it's just due to my size. Like, when I lean a certain way against Jane Watson, will look a totally different way to a man that's similar to my size. And so the contact is always called differently. So for me, that's probably something that I've had to sort of really develop and keep developing, is my ability to really ensure that the angle that I present is one that looks safe to an umpire, so that I don't get called for holding or don't get called for contact. But I think, yeah, more to the point of your question, definitely always being conscious of my body type versus my opponent's.
Yeah, it's fair enough. And you speak about the Cadbury series and those games against the Silver Ferns, and it was a massive event with those games being televised in the past year or so. But correct me if I'm wrong, those games have been happening behind closed doors for a fair while now. How was kind of the excitement when you found out that the games were going to be televised?
Yeah, I think definitely last year was kind of just everyone was living this very heightened honeymoon phase where it was just like this was all brand new for the men, I guess, to get in front of the TV and do it. So a lot of guys were very shell shocked. I was very shell shocked to start with in last year's series. But I guess the men had been so used to doing it indoors. It's just a matter of just stepping up, especially when the lights and the cameras are on you. It's like, I think the difference between your everyday netballer and your elite netballer is one of them can do it when the lights and cameras are on. Because I've seen talented players that underperform under the lights, and I've seen, and vice versa. But I think this year, the Cadbury series was, if not more than anything, just a massive display of the depth and talent that New Zealand has. And more than anything, I think probably over the rest of the world. Because obviously, you only got to see one of the men's teams, and there were a lot of players that missed out, like our previous captain, who lives in Sydney. He couldn't make it because of COVID, and so many other men's players, obviously. But for the girls, like being able to see the top side and then the tier side and then the 21s, who no doubt could easily be a fern. Like some of them could be friends tomorrow. It was amazing to see, and I think it was a really good showcase to the world, but also just to Netball New Zealand itself, and to New Zealand sport, just to see the pinnacle, like the spectacle that is our sport, and sort of just reaching the world on that level was amazing, and just grateful to be a part of it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of already touched on it in like earlier on, but what was it about New Zealand men's netball that you were like, yes, I'm going to do this instead of Australia? Obviously, making that switch. And I guess the difference there is with the women's, they have to wait, what is it, 4 years or something before they're allowed to,
legally make that change over to the other nation. So obviously it was a different thing for you back in 2018.
Yeah, definitely. I think the difference is the pathways in Australia like already exist regardless of who participates. So regardless of whether there's one person, like, you know, one guy that rocks up or 20, there are still 17 and under teams in every state. There are 23s, there are 20s. In New Zealand, it's the other way around. Like there are some really passionate players and some really passionate kids, especially from Waikato, who I represent at a club level, but there just aren't the pathways for them. So, for example, at Nationals, there's only a 23s men's grade, an open men's grade, and a master's. So there's no 17s, there's no 20s. Some of the good stuff, just really quickly about it, is that a lot of the young boys get exposed very early to to the higher level, but they also don't get the chance to develop. And if they don't like the sport, they fall away because there isn't players that are their age or they don't have that sort of structure and process in place. And I think it meant so much more to me to now leading into, I guess, the back end of my career, to probably leave back something worth having instead of just winning or being tall. So I think, going back there, giving back, some of the work we got to do in schools is really making an impact. I'm just excited about that. And I think that was the real reason of my switch. And I think, I haven't, regretted it for a day, really, especially given Cadbury, but yeah.
And speaking of switches, it's not the same, but it's a little bit similar. We have Caitlin Bassett, who was over in the Suncorp Super Netball this year, and now she's decided to join Waikato Bay of Magic, Plenty Magic, next year. What do you think that will do for the Ferns defenders, just to have that increased exposure to someone of her caliber?
Oh, definitely. I think a very, very smart and also very bold, but a really exciting and spontaneous move from Caitlin. She is... like we all saw, the farce that went on at the Giants this year because we couldn't help it. It was everywhere in front of us. But I think she really took advantage of an opportunity to take her game to the next level in terms of, going over there and playing a different type of netball altogether. Because at the same time, the defenders there will be able to adjust to, her height and having that they don't get to play her usually until they reach Silver Ferns or international stage. But also from her end, and I guess the benefit to her is that her ability to play with some of the New Zealand style of attack, which is, thanks to Knowles, we've gone back to, really short, really sharp. Like we play the ball on the ground, bounce pass, bounce pass, bounce. Everyone wants a bounce pass. Like we love a good bounce pass now in New Zealand. And I think that really is a look back at the heyday of New Zealand netball back in the early 90s. And I think Caitlin's ability to be exposed to that is only going to make her game better. And when she comes back, lift the diamonds as well.
Yeah, and now getting on to Suncorp Super Netball, and you do keep up with the league a little bit. Obviously, we've just finished the player signing period and the player transfer period. Are there any players that you've seen that maybe have made a move or young players coming through the pathway that you are really liking and you can see playing higher up in the future?
Yeah, definitely everything that's happened between here and South Australia makes a whole lot of sense to me. Mainly because players like Al McDonald and Jackie Newton have been, who I have admired for years, seeing them in A&L and also seeing them at Men's and Mixed, or seeing Al at Men's and Mixed, they've probably been these fringe players that have just needed the opportunity to step up and have needed the ability to obviously get out on court. And I'm really happy that they've been both signed permanently with the 10 player contract signings for next year, mostly because in Victoria, and obviously you guys would know, we just have talent coming out of our seams out here when it comes to the girls. And unfortunately, like if you slip up for a second or you're injured for a little bit, unfortunately, it's very quickly like another girl who's almost as talented, if not more, is just going to take your spot. So I think it's really awesome that, South Australia sees that and the Thunderbirds see that. And the Magpies saw that because I think Jackie has probably suffered a little bit because of her age group gap. Players like Matilda Garrett, because she fell into the 21s, age group perfectly. She got a little bit of exposure at 21s, and then we all saw her World Cup, and then she kind of got signed from there. And then unfortunately Jackie was too old to be in that 21s gap, but then too young to be in the previous 21s gap, so she kind of missed the exposure at a 21s level. But I honestly think that Jackie is she reminds me a lot of Carla Pretorius, very unassuming. Like, she has really long limbs. She reads the game really well, and she's been smashing it for Fury and for Falcons for a few years now down here. So I'm excited to see her. Excited to see Elle. Probably those are the only two. Elle doesn't have a very conventional netball story. She didn't make any underage teams, but she's played Aussie mixed. She plays really well against men. I've seen her destroy other men's mid-quarters in mixed. And so I think, you know, I think probably she needs to recognize that it's a totally different speed, and she probably needs a totally different level of conditioning. But she's got the brains, and she definitely has the smarts to match it and to be really successful for a few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I really like that you bring up Elle McDonald, because we're all huge fans of her. Jared plays mixed league at M League, and then I covered it for work last year. So we kind of like know what you mean by that, where she doesn't necessarily have that conventional style the way she plays, yes, but it's really, really effective. And so that's really exciting. But
one of the things
that you brought up there was the 10-player roster. Obviously, this year it was expanded to 12 players, and SSN released last week that they're still considering whether or not they're going to do it for next season, which is bizarre because signing finishes tonight. What do you think about the 12 player roster from this year and potentially going back to 10 next year? Do you think that will be a good thing or bad thing? I don't really know.
I think the biggest benefit of the 12 player signing this year was obviously the ability for players to obviously take squads into the hub. But most importantly, for a lot of the next level and the underage girls to get an exposure, like we saw, like, you know, if it wasn't for those 12 player signings, we wouldn't have seen Georgie Horges, who I'm massively fangirl. I'm a massive fan of Georgie. She's super talented and she's got a netball brain on her, which is really rare. So I think that was probably the biggest benefit of the 12 player signings, is the ability for fringe players and underage players to really get a go. And I think it probably will be to Netball Australia's detriment to go back to 10 players, given that, you know, there's no A&L next year. There's like a funky 2-week championships at the end of the year, which just further puts Australia on the back foot. If in comparison, in New Zealand, the average woman will have, if for example, if you're Georgie Horges, in New Zealand, you would have club netball, you'd have collegiate, you'd have Beko League, then you'd have NPC Cup at the end of the year, which is a nationals as well. And then obviously you'd have ANZ Premiership. And if you're Georgie Horges, probably a silver fern at the end of the year. there are like five or six processes that they'd be a part of, which would expose them to top level netball. Next year, Georgie will just get Suncorp Super Netball, and that's it. Or some of the players underneath her, like, you know, Sunday's a great example. Next year she'll only get Suncorp Super Netball and probably the Nationals at the end of the year, but they're getting ready for under 21. So it probably, the 10 player roster signing is probably a financial strain, given the ability for them to, you know, generate the money to have 12 players, but once again a detriment to Netball Australia and their further development at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that New Zealand seem to have Australia's number at the moment in terms of pathway opportunities, players. You already touched on before the fact that we saw those under 21s come out and absolutely kill it. There's so much depth and so many different options that Australia is really going to fall further behind. And the other concerning element was also, or not concerning, but another element that was an issue for many people were the rule changes in regards to the super shot. What were your opinions on that? Because I know Sophie and I were a traditionalist. Jared was on the fence, like, oh yeah, I don't mind it. I do mind it. Like, what was your initial thoughts on it?
Oh, I hate it. I hate it with my deep heart and soul. I absolutely hate the super shot. I get why they try to do it commercially in terms of, you know, whatever puts bums on seats. The problem was with 2020, we didn't have bums on seats because we only had like a hub in like Queensland. So, and because of COVID restrictions, you couldn't get player, like, you know, so many players to a match to watch. So there wasn't the ability for them to take advantage of maybe new fans that I think the Super Shot was trying to do, or that Super Netball was trying to introduce to build the fan base. But also just the amount of backlash that people had from just the idea of it. Like, you know, when they put out surveys about the Super Netball, like, I think 90% of fans were like, no, we don't want it. For me personally, I absolutely hate it, mostly because it's not traditional netball, but also it just incentivizes something that's not going to exist for the Aussie girls on the world stage. So, you know, the whole point was like, like, you know, I don't know, it seemed like a bit of a PR ploy, but all of a sudden coaches 1 week didn't like it, and the next week we're like, oh, we're going to use it to develop like our long range shooters, and we love it, we're going to embrace it. And that did not make sense to me at all, mostly because we incentivize, you know, the shooting of a long range bomb in the last 5 minutes, when in the last 5 minutes at World Cup, you ain't going to get 2 points for shooting out there. Just get the ball in the hoop and turn the ball over is the name of the game. So it'll be very interesting. Once again, something else that just put to the detriment of Netball Australia is the super shot, I believe. I think, you know, it's definitely something that Netball Australia could do as like maybe a Fast Five series, and get all the teams together at the end of the year, for like, you know, because there's so much netball, there's so many netball fans in every state. So like a little festival style thing like that at the end of the year, using the super netball teams and introducing like, you know, the super shot or the rolling subs would be great. But having it part of the week in, week out game, I think a lot of fans have been really turned off by it.
Yeah, I think I might clear myself there. I was originally a bit of a fan of it, and I was ready to embrace it, but I think as the season's gone on, I'm a bit off it now. So I'm in your camp. I'm hoping it wouldn't make an appearance in 2021, but as we've seen, I think it is has been announced that it will take place again. Just finally, you've spoken about a few of the young players that you really like, and you've spoken about the development in Victoria and the Vixens. Do you think the Vixens can go back to back in 2021, or do you think it'll be a pretty competitive season in Suncorp Super Netball?
The Vixens have proven that. Well, to be fair, the Vixens on paper have probably had the best team going around for maybe 3 or 4 years now. But as usual, they just felt cursed to like their inability to step up when it came to finals time. Whether or not they can do it again without Caitlin Thwaites is probably a big ask, given that for some reason, I think, I don't know, maybe when you retire or when you announce that you're going to stop playing, like just everything, like all the pressure is lifted, because Caitlin just played towards the back end of the year, just a very like free game. She was just doing whatever she wants. There was no expectation on her to do well. So I think she just went out there and really just had fun. And you could really see that in the way that she played. And I'm such a massive fan of hers, as a side note, but I think the Vixens will probably, you know, be hunted. So everything that they do will be watched with a very close magnifying glass. Whether they can go back to back, unsure. There are teams like, you know, the Lightning that have something to prove. The Magpies have recruited quite well. So we'll see how they go. The Thunderbirds are like, I think they're now on the cusp, given that they've confirmed signing of becoming a finals contender as well. And the Swifts are always an outside chance. I think this year they really missed the chance to go 2 in a row, even though they did have the team to go 2 in a row. So I think they're probably, I would say right now, because the Swifts, unless the Swifts change their personnel in the next 2 hours, which I don't think they will, I would say the Swifts will probably be like, you know, the on paper favorites. But I'm a Lightning fan by heart, because I'm Auntie Noel, so I'm always going to be rooting for the Lightning.
Well, it's great to hear. And Junior, thank you very much for joining us here on the Centre Pass podcast. It's been great to hear your insight into the world of netball, and best of luck for whatever the rest of your netball career holds.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Once again, thank you to Junior for joining us here on the Centre Pass podcast. I think his insight into the world of netball was just awesome to hear, and great to hear from his perspective. Taylor, I might go to you now for something that we've got in the works over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so we were a little bit inspired by the fact of that we've had trade period, and we've had so many players, well, not so many, but we have had player movements, and got us thinking, why don't we try and make our own team? So we're going to have like a netball fantasy draft, if you would say, where myself, clearly Soph and Jared, we will all have our own teams that we will build. So we'll release like 10-15 minute podcasts where we'll talk about, for example, we might start with a goal shooter, and I might choose Janelle Fowler because I have the first pick. Jared, who would you want, for example?
I'll do a bit more research. I'll leave it okay open when we actually do the episode.
The whole vibe is meant to be that we'll have, you know, we'll take it in turns and we'll each build our own team, but clearly we can't have the same players, so it's all going to be about who can build not the best team, but yeah, we'll make it who can build the best team, what might be connections we might have to think about, and our podcast will be like little explanations on why we've chosen that player,
our reasoning behind it, and then kind of foreshadow what our next move might be and something along those lines, just to keep it funky fresh, because, you know, we've got a long time till Suncorp Super Netball comes back, and we already missed the netball action, so we thought, why not try and make something new?
Yeah, so that is something to look out for over the next couple of weeks. We're all very excited to get started on that one. That is all we have time for this week on the Centre Pass podcast. Do go follow us at Centre Pass Pod on Twitter, and do go to netball.draftcentral.com.au for all your world netball news and reviews, and we'll speak to you soon.